You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
I've done my job, but I have no animosity towards this person anymore. And if he doesn't forgive me, that's on him. I've taken care of my side of the street. We're not responsible for others. And matter of fact, unsolicited advice is often really arrogance. If it's unsolicited, you know, I mean, Jesus waited till somebody spoke with him, you know?
Yeah. So I've gotten in this phase of my life, I'm asking questions. And I'm hoping that asking questions opens up a flow of back and forth information where things can be discussed. But see, God wants to give us insight into our own issues. And James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without doubting, for one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in his ways.
That's why Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Now, I've been quoting that for 40 years. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You know what I saw for the first time about 2 weeks ago? He says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything other than that comes from the wicked one. I never saw that before. Anything other than that. So in other words, don't agree to something unless you're going to do it. Say what you're going to do and do what you said you're going to do, or don't commit to it, you know?
Or don't try to deceive others by indicating that you might do it.
Yeah,
or
right.
You might not do it, okay?
I have to chew on that. I have not concluded yet, okay? Yeah.
So I think above all, in all of this dealing with our own issues, is to realize other people are dealing with theirs. So we're to be patient and have empathy with them as we process our own, you know? So this is a real humility moment that Jesus is calling us to. But at the same time, he knows that we're going to be working out our issues. And sometimes the counsel of a brother, I mean, Proverbs is full of these thoughts that it's only a brother or a person of understanding that's going to bring out the thoughts of your heart. It's a brother that sticks closer than a friend. These are the relationships is often where I get insight as to my own actions. I have a wife who has a Bachelor of Science degree in social work. Graduating magna cum laude from the University of Hawaii.
Wow.
She's a very insightful woman. And when I married her, I was living in a refugee community in eastern Honduras where only one other person spoke English. So guess what, Rhett? After about a year, I recognized that I was my wife's only client. And she was doing her best to make me a better human. And if she was sitting in the room, she would say, yes, and you really needed some help then.
Well, you know,
she was right.
It does say in the scripture, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Right, right.
Better than the kisses of an enemy. An enemy won't tell you that you have bad breath. An enemy won't tell you that you're doing things wrong. So faithful are the wounds of a friend.
And I'm really glad you brought that one up because This is the way that it should be in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That we should have relationships with people. We should make ourselves accountable to people. We should be transparent with people because we're all in the same boat dealing with the same issues, you know, and it's the encouragement of a brother or sister that often really helps me to make a right decision.
And God will work in circumstances and people, whether of faith or not. It was about a week ago, and a friend was visiting from another state, and he was telling a story, and it was a positive story. And I put a little bit, blah, 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 blah. It was like a little bit of a negative bent on it. The specifics don't really matter. And he says, Rhett, I don't want to talk about that. I'm talking about something positive here. Well, I took umbrage in my very own home. This guy was correcting me. So my feelings were hurt. Anyway, so I go upstairs a little while later, and I'm still feeling hurt. And I said, wait a second. What if there's some truth in what he said? And instead of just focusing on my hurt, I went, you know, maybe I do have a penchant for looking at the negative in some situations and should learn from that. So I turned it around. And presume, you know, God can speak through people. Sometimes that hurts a little bit.
It does.
And it can, our feathers can get rustled. Oh, pride. Ooh,
right,
watch
right,
out
right.
for the pride thing. You know, what part are you playing in this situation?
Well, I think the principle that we get from this passage of the Sermon on the Mount, I think what Jesus is trying to tell us here is that as we find freedom through God's wisdom and God's power to break down these strongholds of wrongful thinking and to abandon our habitual behavior and maybe to dissolve a trigger point, that we should be treating others that God will bring across our path with empathy, with compassion, with tenderness, with long-suffering, because we're all in the same boat doing the same things, okay? So now Jesus gives us a summary to this Sermon on the Mount with three contrasting images. First, we have a narrow gate and a broad path. We have a good tree and a bad tree. And we have a house that's built on a rock and a house that's built on sand. So here are the three images, and here's the first one. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So what's this gate that Jesus is talking about? What's the broad way? What is the narrow gate, okay? And that's been a debate among scholars, among people for a long time. But I come back to this passage from John chapter 10 where Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, I am the door or the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. I'm the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, because I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So my conclusion is the narrow gate is this walk with Jesus. He's the gateway. He's the door to heaven. He's the pathway to eternal life, you see? And you and I know that the pursuit of pleasure, possessions, prestige, and power is an attractive boulevard for many in this world. And the actions of, think about it for a moment, the actions of religious people also place them on this broad boulevard because they desire the things of God really without having a personal relationship with Him. The walk of a disciple is narrow and it's a road defined by God's wishes for an intimate relationship with Him. Okay? Proverbs 19:105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Okay? You see, God's word is the guide to our daily life. And the New Testament is filled with these references. Like Paul says in Ephesians 4, "I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, and showing tolerance for one and the love of one another." You see, we've been called to be children of God in this universe. We're to be the ambassadors to His culture. And Paul says this, "For this reason, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and ask you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Why? "So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might." Why? "For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified to share in the inheritance." Okay? So this is a great description of this narrow way, this walk, that we should walk out our day in a manner that's pleasing. And this is such a great scripture to quote, at least for me, on my driving on my way to work, "Lord, that I may walk out my way worthy of you, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, that I would experience your presence, know more about you. Strengthen me, Lord, to make good decisions." Okay? This is how we should walk out our day and being victorious in our spiritual battles, noticing the focus on Him and being patient with those around us, and finally, being thankful for what he's doing. And this is why the book of Proverbs is filled with these images. In fact, Proverbs 4 says this about this narrow way, this narrow gate. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet. All your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. And that's the broad path, the broad boulevard. And, Rhett, I think here's the passage. This passage gives me this understanding that we should be aware there are many things that will pull us off of God's path. So we should be diligent to stay on the path. Now, think of the relationships that you value most, Rhett, and how you become very other-centered, doing what pleases them and what's best for that relationship. You see, taking our freedom to serve others often lead us off the path of this optimal relationship.
Say that again?
I think when we take our freedoms to serve ourselves, they lead us off the path of this relationship that God is calling us to have with others.
Yes. Yeah.
So along our journey, we're going to meet spiritual people who will often impress us with their spiritual gifts and popularity, and sometimes that causes envy on our part, doesn't it? They're going to offer us advice on how we should relate to God, and the emphasis always seems to be on us rather than him. Jesus says we're going to know them by the kind of fruit that their ministry bears. So he goes on to say this: beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. So here's a second comparison. Okay, we have the narrow gate and the broad path. Now we have the good tree and the bad tree. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Okay? We have a lot of people in our Christian culture that are proclaiming messages that are supposedly from the Bible, but are often seem to be very self-centered and focused on ourselves, living our best life, gaining the material possessions that we deserve.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
You're the one that